Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The last stand of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, it seems kind of crazy to say it now, but one of the most successful pro wrestlers in the history of pro wrestling just decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore, but please don't tell anybody, I don't want anybody to know. I mean, it's a very bold decision given that WWE probably could have made millions more off of that one idea, but that's just how successful he was. He got to pull all his own strings. From a health standpoint, it was absolutely the right move too, because not only was his neck in an absolute state, but the night before WrestleMania 19, he had actually been hospitalized because he had drunk way too much caffeine, he had drunk way too much coffee, he had way too many energy drinks, and his heart basically went, what are you doing to me, Steve? I can't handle this, and it went all crazy. Thankfully, he was okay, but there was enough worry around this that the powers that be said, hey, look, we're just gonna move your main event match to the sub-main event, because we want to take some of the pressure off. I just realized I said he was hospitalized. Sorry, I didn't mean that. He was, of course, local medical facility-ized. Health or lack thereof was also the theme of WrestleMania 19, because Kurt Angle walked into his match with a neck that was barely walking, and Brock Lesnar almost didn't walk out. So I tell you, for as good as this is as a WrestleMania, everything going on behind the scenes will scare the absolute life out of you. WWE was still smashing it as well, even though they were long past the Attitude Era. I mean, they packed 54,000 fans into the Safeco Arena, and they made like $3 million on the gate. But even despite all that, WrestleMania 19 only drew around about 560,000 buys. And I get that that sounds massive, but WrestleMania 18 did 880,000 buys, and WrestleMania 17 did over 1 million buys. So this was around the period where they started to head in the wrong direction. Still, we don't have to worry about any of that because we're fans, and who cares what the business bottom line says anyway. So let's take the finger of power and go all the way back to 2003 and give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down for WrestleMania 19. WWE loved Limp Bizkit, didn't they? It was like those few years where they were obsessed with Flo Rida and decided there was no other musician in the world other than Flo Rida. But they are singing us into WrestleMania 19 with the official theme song, and Safeco Field is such a crazy arena. Like, it looks absolutely massive, but you could also see these pockets of pure nothingness where fans are just roaming around. Jim Ross also tells us he's wearing his John Wayne cufflinks, and he told me, so I'm telling you. And when we cut to Michael Cole, he looks around about 7 years old. As good as this event is, though, it starts on a downer. Therefore, it gets down. Because Rey Mysterio is the number one contender for Matt Hardy's Cruiserweight Championship, and how much fun is that given that in 2021, Matt Hardy is an integral part of AEW, and Rey Mysterio is an integral part of WWE? I don't really understand how they've lasted this long, but good for them. Then within 5 minutes, it's over. I already went, oh, because I was so deflated, and I was even more upset because this is Matt Hardy version one, which is the best version of Matt Hardy. He's even got that entrance way where like the video screen is buffering, which actually you could do today, and that would make you a pretty stupid bad guy. But yeah, it's good for the few minutes you do get to watch it, but just as you're settling in, getting your ass ready in that sofa, it's over. And I suppose I should have known this, because the first thing that you see is Rey Mysterio doing this crazy corkscrew drive over the top rope. I mean, Rey Mysterio, man, he may be the most important person ever in wrestling. Just go back through these retro ups and down shows, he is always there. There's a badass moment when Hardy goes for a Splash Mountain, but at the very last second, Rey Mysterio turns into a Hurricane Rana, and my word, I thought he was gonna land on his head. And then he finally hits the 619, he goes for another, this time springboard Hurricane Rana, but as they're kind of rolling each other up, Matt Hardy grabs the ropes and he steals one to retain his title. This was also when Matt Hardy was like, oh man, I gotta do all this cardio to get down to the weight limit. Matt Hardy is great. So now that I've actually thought about it, the time definitely deserves a down. It 100% deserves a down, but the match is so flubbing entertaining, I'm gonna give it an up. And I know I'm just breaking all my own rules here, but do you watch ups and downs? There's no rules on that either. It's just me and my bald head running amok. And then, backstage, the Miller Lite catfight girls arrive. One of them thinks that Vince McMahon is going to win tonight. The other thinks that Hulk Hogan is going to win tonight. And I have never seen a segment in WWE history that feels as scripted as this one does. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't even know who Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon were. I mean, they really do have the fakest argument of all time. I mean, one of them is just smiling throughout it. That's what a psychopath would do. Imagine you were having a round, someone's like, oh, I hate you so much, and the person's like, yeah, well, I hate you too. You're like, you know what, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Remember what I said about Limp Bizkit too? They then have a live performance, and Tony Chimmel announces them as WWE's favorite band and the best band in the world, the band that we all love, and the band that one day we want to have children with. I'm like, all right, Tone, calm it down. They're all right. They're here to play The Undertaker to the ring too, but because we get a performance beforehand, The Undertaker comes out about three quarters of the way through this, and as such, nobody in the crowd realizes he's there. And I guess he had a bit of an ego moment, because he starts to really rev his motorbike, like, because he just wants somebody to look at him and give him a little bit of a cheer. We then, however, do get a proper down. Because if you've ever wondered, why did The Undertaker take on the A-Train and Big Show at WrestleMania 19 in a handicap match? It's because originally, it was meant to be a tag team match, with The Undertaker's partner being my uncle Nathan Jones. But for the second time, WWE officials had freaked out and decided, oh no, Mr. Jones, he's not ready. So they had pulled him out of the match. To do this too, during Heat, which aired before the pay-per-view, Nunzio stole Nathan Jones' wallet and he lured him into a room with the Big Show and A-Train, who beat him up in the showers, and apparently it was so bad, the dead man was now gonna have to go alone. You're probably now going, well, why the hell would they put him in this position to begin with? Well, Vince McMahon had seen Nathan Jones' physique, and you know the rest of the story. As such, you do get this slightly dull handicap match that even Paul Heyman realized, because he was meant to be the manager of Big Show and A-Train, but he was like, no thanks, I'd rather do something else. And the best thing I read is that beforehand, The Undertaker had dedicated this to his nephew that was fighting in Iraq, and as soon as bookies heard that, they were like, right, that's it. No one else is allowed to bet on this contest, because come on, was The Undertaker ever gonna lose, especially with that nugget of information? No. Otherwise, this is just Big Show and Albert beating up Undertaker for a while before Nathan Jones is fine. He comes out, he kicks everybody's in the head, and Undertaker gives A-Train a tombstone, and no wonder we banned the pile driver. I know that never extended to the tombstone, but The Undertaker just drops this man right on his head. And that is that. I mean, it does count towards The Undertaker's streak, but it's one of those, if you're ever going to go back through every single match, you could probably just miss this one. There ain't much to write home about. The catfight girls were then back, and I just went, oh no. They run into Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson here, and they go, oh, Tori, you were so great in Playboy. And Stacy, you're a marketing genius because you came up with testicles. I thought about turning it off at this point. I thought about just emailing what a coach and going, I've decided not to do retro ups and downs this week. But continued I did. And I am glad I made that decision, because afterwards we get a really decent wrestling match between Jazz Victoria and Trish Stratus for the women's title. This is where Trish had really found her groove as a wrestler as well, and could just have a good match with anybody. Plus the fans absolutely love her and cheering her from start to finish. This is a rollicking good time and is getting it up. I mean, if you want to say that this is the best thing that we've seen on WrestleMania 19 so far at this point, I wouldn't argue with you. Although I always do chuckle to myself when Trish Stratus does come out, because I don't understand her entrance music. It goes, whoa, it's time to rock and roll. This time I'm in control. What? When will you have control? Stratus even got the fans to bite when she was trapped in an STF by Jazz. Honestly, when she goes to the rope, they all lose their minds. And because Stevie Richards was a somewhat manager of Victoria at this period, he gets in the ring. His plan is to hit Trish Stratus in the head with a chair, but because he was being booked as a goof here, he misses, hit the ropes, the chair comes slamming into his face, and Trish honestly gives him the best Stratusfaction I've ever seen in my life. She then follows it up with a chick kick on Victoria to become the women's champion, and yeah, like I say, this is just really, really fun stuff. one of the best things on WrestleMania 19. Rock promo followed afterwards, and of course you hear a bunch of boos here because he's playing the bad guy. But sometimes you think, well, maybe at WrestleMania he'll get cheered. The Great One is well aware that's not going to happen, and he just goes at the fans. He tells them that, yes, I am a sellout because I've sold out every WrestleMania I've been at, which is a very good line. And I just like Hollywood Rock, though he's still wearing a shirt that says, hit it strong. I mean, what does that even mean? A total blast from the past was next too, because it is our tag team champions, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, taking on Chris Benoit and Rhino, as well as Chavo and Eddie Guerrero. Much like the opener, it is nuts and really rushed because they only get 9 minutes, like they were told, if you go over to 10, we're gonna shoot you in the head. But man, do they make the most of this up. It's really cool though, because at the time it was Benjamin and Haas' biggest match ever, and you can tell that it's etched all over their faces. And then back in the ring, Chris Benoit went nuts with German suplexes, and he gave Chavo Guerrero 4 of them, and every time he landed right on his skull. Also, because we were talking about entrance music earlier, remember when Eddie Guerrero used to have the Viva La Raza entrance music? I used to think it followed that up with Latino feet. That's right, not heat. As a stupid child, I thought he was singing about Latino feet. This is solid stuff though, and it's tremendous that the world's greatest tag team do hold on to their titles because it made them feel like a big deal. Although the absolute highlight here is when Eddie Guerrero breaks up a pin with his frog splash. I truly do think he's had the best one ever. The finish comes when Rhino goes nuts with gauze and he hits everybody, including Chavo Guerrero, but then Eddie pulls him out the ring. So Shelton Benjamin's like, well, there's a dead man lying in the ring. I'm gonna go and pin him. He does. And he does indeed hold on to his belt. I like this though. In fact, I liked it a lot.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The catfight girls were then back, and they actually made this noise. It's just some kind of squeal. They are with Stacy and Tori still though, and Stacy is saying, oh, Vince McMahon's responsible for WrestleMania. And Tori's like, no, it was Hulk Hogan. Then they get all mad and they just storm off. I'm like, man, this is Twitter. Before Twitter existed, you are arguing about something that really doesn't matter. Get a real problem. The catfight girls then start going at it again. They decide, well, we should settle this in the ring. And the other one says, no, we should settle this in bed. What does that mean? Somebody please message me and tell me what that means. We are going to settle this argument in bed. We're going to hump each other and then just see what's going to fall out from that. It is utterly gibberish and utterly transparent. And if you are now thinking to yourself, well, I hope we cut out of this to Jerry Lawler, who had some kind of creepy comment, of course that's what happened. We then get going with the truly big matches because it is Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels. And during the opening video promo for this, you have some of that old school WWE production music that, my word, they need to bring back yesterday. It made me feel all oobly boobly. The story absolutely rocks too, because Chris Jericho had been like, man, when I was a kid, I wanted to be the next Shawn Michaels. But now I've grown up, I realize I want to be the first Chris Jericho, which at this time was just a massive asshole. He would cheat and do whatever the hell he had to win. This ties into the start of the match as well, because both guys are stealing each other's moves. And if you are interested how rare dives were, back in WWE in 2003, when Shawn Michaels does one, the audience loses their damn mind. It's like someone's been decapitated. We carry on this whole whatever you can do, I can do better shtick when Chris Jericho does a nip up and then Shawn Michaels does an even better one. And by the time Jericho reverses a Hurricane Rana into the Walls of Jericho, you are just having a good time. It's like it's Sunday afternoon and you've gone for a picnic with your nan. Well, no, not my nan. She's passed away, sadly. She's dead. I wouldn't be having a good time. I'd be absolutely terrified. You also get this 5-star near fall after Chris Jericho has hit his own version of Sweet Chin Music, and then you get an even better one when Shawn Michaels has hit his. And really, this doesn't have a proper finish. HBK just uses the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, or here, the surprise cradle, and he basically gets the better of Chris Jericho for only 3 seconds, and that is that. So that is exactly how it should be done. And afterwards, Jericho pretends that he's going to hug Shawn Michaels, but then thinks better of it, and he just boots him in the balls. He was gearing up to assault Michaels the next night on Raw 2, and of course, back then, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe we did this, grumble, grumble. Shawn Michaels shouldn't have won, and we shouldn't have given it to Chris Jericho. You know what? You're probably right, but this was 2003. I'm not going to worry about it now. It's 2003 Simon's problem, although to be fair, I don't think he would care either. Either way, though, up. The whole show, then from nowhere, just falls off a cliff. Because not only do we get another Limp Bizkit performance, and I was fine with the one we already had, but we get the culmination of everything that has happened with the Catfight Girls. Down. But a bed had been set up on the rampway. We get all four women, who had very contradicting views about the birth of WrestleMania, having a pillow fight. And honestly, I have seen wrestlers hit each other with popcorn that looked more severe and more dangerous than this. At one point, the coach has his pants ripped off and they all end up in their bras. We know exactly who this was for, but it's garbage. So to be honest, it is utterly shit. Apologies to the horny teenagers out there. And in fact, if anyone from Peacock is watching, go get it. I don't care. Rip it off the network. Wind up the internet even more. But this one can be shot down. I was going to give that the brown down as well until I got to the next match, which is, of course, Booker T versus Triple H for the World Heavyweight title. And I was like, you know what? No way. That's got to be reserved for this. Brown down. Now, the match itself is actually quite good. I totally understand why we forget about this now. But Triple H is basically aping any awesome Ric Flair match, and there's nothing wrong with that. And given that the Nature Boy is on the outside and kept getting involved, well, there's a lot of entertainment to be had. It was also surely setting up Booker T for an even bigger win, because not only did he have to overcome the build, but he had to overcome all these shenanigans. You already know what happens. And you can feel the magic in the room as Booker T does start to make his comeback. They are desperate for him to become the champion. And when he hits the Harlem Hangover and only doesn't get the three because Ric Flair grabs Triple H's foot and puts it on the rope, well, everyone gets to a fever pitch like, oh, what's gonna happen now? From there though, Triple H just hits the pedigree. There's no build whatsoever. He then takes over 20 seconds, 26 seconds to be precise, because I timed it, to crawl over to Booker T's body. He then just falls on top of him, and the referee goes one, and the referee goes two. And in that last second, you're like, well, of course Booker T is going to kick out, but he doesn't, and the referee goes three. So one pedigree had just killed him, and when you do go into the story leading into this, it just doesn't make any sense. Now, WWE should not have done this anyway. They really should not have done. But as they did decide to give it racial undertones, surely the only result, the only endpoint of this was to have Booker T win, so you can tell everyone, hey, if you are going to go out there and be a massive douchebag, you will get your comeuppance, and you will lose what's important to you, and the other person that you've just crapped all over will get theirs. Or in short, don't be an asshole because assholes lose. But we didn't. Triple H just wins his championship or retains his championship, and poor Booker T got nothing. This is an absolute disgrace, and that's coming from someone who is and was a very big Triple H fan. It didn't make any sense then, it doesn't make any sense now, and it should just be purged and thrown into the lake. Because there's no excuse for it. There is no excuse for it at all. Terrible. In terms of a card too, you then get three of the most nuts back-to-back matches ever, starting with a street fight between Vincent Kennedy McMahon and Hulk Hogan. And I always forget that's on this show because I'm thinking about Austin and Rock, Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar, but it's here and it is damn enjoyable. I mean, I don't know how this does always slip my mind, because when you do watch any Raw or SmackDown leading up to this, it's all Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, but I'm a moron. Up. It starts off horrendously as Vince McMahon actually decides he's going to try and wrestle, and that does not work. And also, he is somehow able to outpower Hulk Hogan, during a test of strength. They soon forget all about that though, and Hulk Hogan gets a chair and smacks Vince McMahon's right in the face, and in around about 2 minutes, he is just bleeding like a pig. The best part though is that later on, Hogan goes for another one of these. He misses Vince McMahon and he hits Hugo Sinanovic, who is on the Spanish announce table, and he starts to bleed too. Why did we write that one in? A small part of me was like, was that an accident? Of course it's not, but it is really, really strange. Vince uses that to punch Hogan in the balls and then hit him with a chair, so he starts bleeding. And then he puts Hulk Hogan on an announce table, gets a ladder, and hits a leg drop off the top of it through the wood. Now look, it's not the greatest leg drop through an announce table you've ever seen, but in context, it will blow your damn mind. It then just goes off the rails when Roddy Rowdy Piper gets in the ring, because he'd been all disguised, and while he pretends he's going to hit Vince McMahon with a pipe, instead he waits till Hulk Hogan has got up, and he just smacks him on the head instead. The fans do absolutely love this though, because they are going crazy, and when Vince McMahon tries to pin Hulk Hogan and he kicks out, Roddy Piper goes, oh well, I gave it one try, now I'm going to leave. So I don't think he was all that invested. Sylvain Grenier then comes out, because he was apparently Pat Patterson's protege at the time, and that went right over my head. And of course, he runs right into Hulk Hogan's fist, who absolutely destroys him. And basically, Hulk then hulks up. He hits three leg drops on Vince McMahon, each one getting lower than the last one, but that's more than fine. In 2003, Hulk Hogan's back was essentially made of cheese. Shane comes out to help his dad as Vince McMahon flips Hulk Hogan off. And this is just a barrel of laughs. Vince McMahon knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly how to sell it. He has the best facials you've ever seen in your life. And actually, if you are looking for some kind of examples how you can sell your face more, I would say, go and watch Vince McMahon. That's a really weird thing to say. And so it is after that we go from the insane to the sublime, because it is indeed Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock. Round three. Despite this being Austin's goodbye, he still gets the loudest reaction of the evening, so it's not like that's waned at all. And when you do know what's going on with him mentally and physically, this is a truly incredible performance, and it has quite the emotional hook. Jim Ross is also legendary on commentary here, as he sells the idea of this hero walking off into the sunset like nothing else. And the only real problem with it is that sharpshooter that The Rock does. I mean, it doesn't look like it hurts at all. Still, he is a supreme entertainer, which he proves when he goes and puts on Stone Cold Steve Austin's jacket and then just starts walking around like the rattlesnake, like, hey, I'm Stone Cold, I'm Stone Cold. He has to get his comeuppance, though, which is why he walks directly into a rock bottom. And these two love trading their moves at WrestleMania, and so because Austin had given Rock the rock bottom, about 90 seconds later, The Rock gives Austin a Stone Cold Stunner. I suppose given everything, we should have known that this was Austin's last hurrah, though I don't think anybody would have believed it back in the day. But given that it doesn't take one rock bottom, it doesn't take two rock bottoms, but it takes three rock bottoms to keep Stone Cold down, well, you know, it's like a big full stop at the end of a sentence. Even then, though, fans still can't believe it. Stone Cold was basically impenetrable. This is absolutely ace, though, especially when you know all the bells and whistles that are going on around it. And I know people always go, well, it was the worst of their three WrestleMania matches. Why you gotta do that, man? Why you gotta do that, brah? Why can't you just enjoy them all in their own special way? As mentioned, this ridiculous trifecta of matches then ends with Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE title. And once again, I watched this with all the information in my head. How did nobody see what kind of bad shape Angle was in? He does not look healthy at all, and yet when he gets in the ring, he's like, hey, if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die, and he just turns into that flipping wrestling machine. It's very different to everything that we'd seen prior, because they do go full on amateur wrestling, and within around about 30 seconds, you will say to yourself, if I ever had to fight one of these guys for real, they would kill me. And then when we start building to the hard clotheslines and suplexes where Kurt Angle lands on his head every single time, well, I just turned into his dad. I was screaming at my television set, what are you doing, old Kurt Angle? Or young Kurt Angle, you know what I'm saying. Would you please try and protect yourself? Taz rocks here as well, because he goes out of his way on commentary to give you context about some of the mat wrestling we're seeing. And then Kurt Angle German suplexes Brock Lesnar into the turnbuckle. So I'm like, oh, there goes his back. Then he gives him another German suplex, and Brock Lesnar lands on his front. That man is just freaky deaky athletic. And it almost seems silly to talk about the ending because you already know. Somebody had told Brock Lesnar, the largest man on the planet, why don't you go to the top rope and try and flip yourself over to end this thing? And while it does always look spectacular, here he lands right on his head. And so many people have said if he wasn't as big as he was and he didn't have these huge traps, he probably would have died. So it's scary as anything, and it properly knocks him loopy to the point you just see Kurt Angle scream at him, give me an F5 and pin me, because Brock Lesnar doesn't know what the hell is going on. It's why the last shot of WrestleMania 19 is so kind of, well, weird, because you have a brand new champion, but he's just looking into the abyss like this. He's got that glass stare. He doesn't know what's going on, and then blood starts rushing out of his nose. You're like, man, this is just a little bit too real for me. However, getting rid of that horrendous moment at the end aside, this is a tremendous match. Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar are just like two pro wrestlers like none other, so it would be remiss of me to do anything but give this it up. Before I do leave you though, I will give you the WrestleMania 19 star ratings from Dave Meltzer of The Wrestling Observer. He gave Matt Hardy versus Rey Mysterio 2.25 stars. The Undertaker versus Big Tro and A-Train got 1.25 stars. Trish versus Jazz versus Victoria, 2.25 stars. That big tag team match got 3 stars. Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels got 4.25 stars. Triple H versus Booker T got 3.25 stars. Hulk Hogan versus Vince, 3 stars. The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, 4 stars. And that main event, 4.25 stars. And I will tell you this again, WrestleMania 19 is really pretty damn good.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.